everyone. Nick here from 4playernetwork.com. Welcome to the first revamped episode of 4Player Plus. Now, we've been recording these bonus podcasts for a while now, but it's been kind of hard to do them frequently because as a group, we're always kind of waiting for the right game or right movie to come along where our schedules line up and we all kind of see it or play it simultaneously, and that's never really worked for us. So we decided to take a stab at a new format for the show. So going forward, these bonus podcasts, which will be shorter, more bite-sized podcasts, will be made available weekly, and they're going to be recorded live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, right before my regular stream. And they're going to cover a variety of topics. So tonight, Crispy joined me for a discussion of, or a spoiler cast for Solo, A Star Wars Story, the new Star Wars Expanded Universe film. It's a good discussion. Hope you guys enjoy it. But next week, we'll move on to a completely different topic, whether it's a spoiler cast for a game or a news topic that we didn't get a chance to discuss in great detail on the main podcast. It could be any number of things. And if you out there are listening and you have an idea for a discussion topic or a news topic you'd like to hear our take on, feel free to email me at nick@4playernetwork.com. You can also send your suggestions or commentary or feedback on the new show format. I'd love to hear from you. If you're a supporter on Patreon or on Twitch, you can actually interact with the show live while we record it by going into our Discord, which you'll find at discord.gg/4player. You can join the 4Player Plus chat channel, and you can ask us questions or make comments that we'll react to and respond to live while we record the show. So enough about that. I just kind of want to get some housekeeping out of the way because this is going to be a little bit different going forward, and I'd like to make sure everybody's on the same page. And with that said, I hope you guys enjoy the show. And of course, don't forget to join us on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/4playerpodcast. Join us on Thursday night for our regularly scheduled podcast. So enough about that. Let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome to 4Player Plus. This is a special bonus podcast we do over at 4playernetwork.com. It's going to be a variety of topics, but I'm not going to spend too much time introducing the concept now. You should have already heard a little bit about that. I have Crispy with me today.
Hello.
Crispy, you like Star Wars, Hello. Don't you?
I really do.
You have a little love-hate but relationship with Star Wars?
No, I don't. There is absolutely no hate. I dislike a lot of the fandom because I dislike them.
For reasons.
I don't know. I feel like I like Star Wars, and I see, like, I feel like the way I like Star Wars is maybe a little different, or like what I look for from Star Wars is maybe a little different than most people.
You know? Probably. I think a lot of people don't know what to look for because they're just kind of so used to what they've been fed from Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mean that because I have like some grand manifesto of what Star Wars should be. I just mean like because the stuff that I come out of really enjoying is the stuff that a lot of people seem to not enjoy, and then the stuff that I'm not really that into is the stuff that like I see people clamoring for all over the internet, you know,
which is funny because today we're here to talk about Solo, a Star Wars story, which of course is Han Solo's origin movie. Just came out. Of course, let me preface this by saying, anybody who's watching us live on Twitch, this is going to be a spoiler podcast, so there will be some spoilers in here. If you have not seen the movie, maybe listen to it later after you've seen the movie. Or if you don't care, that's cool too. Maybe we'll convince you to watch the movie. Illumination wants to know, do you like Jar Jar Binks, Crispy?
No. No, what? No.
I think that's...
No!
I'm pretty sure that's coming straight off of what you just said about...
I guess, I don't know, maybe I think Star Wars really is, like, your opinions of it are largely determined by your generation.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
How old you were and where they were when you found them. Because I feel like a lot of kids who are, like, a little younger than us, like, maybe people who are in their early 20s now, like, I see a lot of those kind of people online, like, on Twitter and stuff, who are really in this point of, like, coming around on the prequels, you know? Are really like coming, like trying to have a more equitable view of like Revenge of the Sith and things like that, and I think that is like heresy of the highest order.
Dude, there was a long time where I was trying to convince myself, like, just watch them.
But I'm young enough that I like Ewoks, you know. So like, it's weird.
Oh my god, that is strange. So there's actually a lot to unpack here at this movie. One, I think it's had kind of, it's a bit of a I mean, before you even get into like the nitty-gritty of like what the movie actually is, there's all that like pretext of the way the movie was you know, developed and directed and acted. And there's like all this controversy going on behind the scenes because it was originally going to be directed by someone else, and then they ended up firing the director, and then they brought in Ron Howard to finish the movie, which in and of itself is cause for concern. And there's to some people, I suppose, is cause for concern.
But he did. He was there, like, for all of the shooting, though, wasn't he?
Ron Howard?
Yeah.
I think they had already started filming the movie, some of it, prior to him taking over, and then they didn't.
He's the only one that has a credit at all. So, yeah. I mean.
So he was probably up there pretty close to the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Like.
And I don't want to spend too much time talking, because honestly, I don't think that really had too much of an impact on the movie we ultimately ended up getting, which I think if we want to kind of just get it out of the way, like what we thought of it on like a 10,000 foot view of it, I think we both liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, maybe this is early to say, but like I'm putting it in the top four on Star Wars.
Holy shit.
Yeah, just based on like what I like about Star Wars and what I want to see from Star Wars. I mean, I'm still one of the few, like, I don't know. Like everyone's favorite movie is Empire, right?
Yeah.
And I fucking love Empire, but like I still have just as many days where I wake up and I'm like, I don't know, I think the original Star Wars is the best one, right? Like I think A New Hope kind of encapsulates this certain view and this certain type of Star Wars that like you just never see again. Like it has certain mentalities and certain attitudes about its characters that you just don't ever see again. And I kind of talked about that when we talked about Rogue One specifically in how they treat Darth Vader, right?
Yeah.
Because in that movie, Darth Vader is pretty much just whatever he is in A New Hope.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't gotten into the whole like weight of the Skywalker legacy and shit like that yet.
He's just this like villain character.
Yeah, he's just a fucking evil thug. Like, he's just a fucking dick, you know? And that is, I think, the best Vader. I never really cared about the whole tragic hero to villain thing. Right, and I think part of that is just because they handled it so fucking poorly in the prequels, and I think maybe if they had done something that was, you know, I feel like worth it, I guess. Maybe I would be a little more receptive to that view of Darth Vader, but I don't, and I mean I'm not. So like I think he's just classic villain. He's like almost like old school Lex Luthor. Like he's bad because he is just genuinely devoted to being an evil prick.
And honestly,
know?
I think that's also kind of the case with the villain that they chose for Solo. Maybe not to the same extent, because I think
they sketch their characters very similarly.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone here is still really broadly sketched and like fits these archetypes really well. And you kind of, I mean, you kind of know exactly where everyone's coming from the second they start talking.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's not a very that doesn't have a lot of like literary depth to it.
Yeah.
But it is definitely befitting of the tone and of like the sort of source material that Star Wars came from.
Absolutely. You know? And it's funny because you were talking about the things that you really like about Star Wars are not necessarily the things that most people like and that kind of thing. But like, I think you, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the things you're kind of alluding to has always been like there's super heavy focus on Jedis and
mainly I'm just burnt out on the Force. I feel like the Force and the Jedi and all of that is really cool, and like there's so many different things you can do with it, and you could make it this huge thing that wasn't just about Sith and Jedi, you know, bring the Force to a larger scale and kinda like shit like I just feel like there's so much untapped potential there, and yet like people are really into trying to fix and like trying to kind of perfect the dichotomy between like the Jedi and the Sith, you know? That's about as far as anyone really wants to get into like the Force for the most part. I mean, to the point, like, and I always point to the Old Republic as a perfect example of this, the MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole Old Republic era, like even going back into when they were doing Knights of the Old Republic,
yeah.
that shit, like, that whole era is kind of like BioWare looking at Star Wars going, oh man, I really like this about the prequels, and I really like this about the original movies, and I really like all these little things that don't really go together in the Star Wars canon. So we're going to pick all that out. We're going to set the timeline back like 10,000 years or whatever it is, and we're just going to make a new Star Wars that is basically old Star Wars, but kind of like, you know, fixed,
yeah,
kind of like like rearranged for fun.
It's a remix.
For maximum fun. Right, so you get like the Sith at the height of their power. You get the Jedi at the height of their power. And you get, like, also you get this evil empire at the height of its power, but then you also get the Republic at the height of its power, and, like, they all represent kind of, like, the pure ideals of what those things were that we never really got to see, you know?
Before everything fell apart, yeah.
Right, and it's just kind of like this big fun playground of, like, all the same ideas that we've been getting from Star Wars over and over and over again. And that stuff is fun, and it's really great, but, like, every time I go online and I see like people commenting that BioWare or Blur Studios or whoever does those old Republic cinematics should just be making Star Wars movies, like, my soul shrivels a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
Like, because really what I've always wanted from Star Wars, at least for the last like 10 years or so, is very much what Solo is.
Yeah. It's very identifiable, yeah. It's the same universe, but they're playing in a very different playground, I think, than what we're right. used to seeing. It's funny. So SMG in Discord says, because are there any lightsabers in Solo?
No.
There's not. But there is one weapon that the villain pulls out at the end that is basically just for people who wanted a lightsaber.
When he
pulls out those dual blades that have like the little light beam along the edges.
Yeah.
Which are cool. But
like everyone's gonna hop in the chat right now to be like, well, actually, to like make a quick little like adjustment to that statement, but for all you know, all practical purposes, all intents and purposes, no.
There's definitely not. Well, yeah. So first of all, I will say there's one big like kind of revelation or spoiler or there's one thing that you probably wouldn't want spoiled for you if you're worried about spoilers. We'll talk about that at the end, which is kind of funny because it kind of relates to what we're talking about now. But let's just talk about the movie in general because I walked out of the theater just kind of astounded that movie got made. I really liked it, but like we said, it plays in a very different playground. It strikes a very different tone. Mm-hmm. Maybe not even tone. I mean, I guess, but like,
well, it embraces a certain aspect of Star Wars that's always been there, but it kind of just gets rid of everything else. It just does that.
So Illumination says, it's just weird now that there's movies on characters like Solo. I don't think his backstory was ever talked about, so why now? Well, the simple answer to that question is first of all, of course, Disney owns Star Wars now, and they kind of have their hand in the money pot, and they're trying to make as much... They're doing the Marvel thing, so...
The only thing is that, like, I've seen that sentiment pop up a lot. And I feel like it comes from people who are like maybe a little underwhelmed about the movie and like maybe had wished that, I don't know, but maybe had wished that they spent their time and resources making like a different movie.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like we've got a lot of Han Solo, like but it's always this like Harrison Ford version of Han Solo. I mean, I've seen that mentality of like, why does this movie exist a lot?
Yes.
And I feel like that is a really weird position to take with Star Wars because we didn't need
anything. Any of these.
Anything. I mean, we didn't need any of them. We didn't need the prequels for sure. Like I don't know. If the idea of like fleshing out the story of the Jedi and the Sith and the Old Republic like seemed vital.
Well, this
seems more important to me.
Yeah, and
this seems more relevant to me than any of that other stuff.
Sure, and honestly, there's always going to be the money making component, right? But I think if you're willing to look beyond that and kind of give the creators of the movie the benefit of the doubt, there are people generally interested in like playing in this universe from a creative standpoint. Like, it's a very rich universe, and it's probably like it is like probably many people's dreams to be able to kind of play in that sandbox. And you have all these great characters, and who wouldn't want to know more about a lot of these characters, kind of delve into their past and that kind of thing. Obviously, there's a lot of risk involved there because Han Solo is such a beloved character. So there's obviously that like that immediate reaction of like, ugh, like they could fuck this up so bad.
And I don't think, I don't think that this movie exists to answer all these burning questions we have about where Han Solo came from. You know, I don't even think the movie is really that concerned. There's a lot of throwaway shots of like, oh, this is where he got his blaster. This is how he got the Millennium Falcon. This is how he met Chewie. And if you compiled all that together, it's like maybe 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know? I think a lot, like, we didn't know the specific details of it. Everybody kind of knew loosely how those things happened. They're referencing, right, like, The Empire Strikes
Back.
Right,
and this isn't even really that far from what you might have guessed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't really the story about Han Solo getting off Corellia so much as it is, like, Han Solo learning how to be a rogue. But even then, that's not what I would say the purpose of the movie.
You're right, so, and honestly,
it's not the why of it. The why is we just want to have like a cool westerny like heist movie set in Star Wars because that is exactly what Star Wars has always deserved. And who better to lead that up than Han Solo?
Absolutely,
and we can't cast Harrison Ford to do it because he's old as shit. So we'll get a younger guy and just set it as like an origin.
And honestly, I really do think it's like, Han Solo is such an iconic and lovable character. Like, who wouldn't want to see what he, like, just want to see what he was like when he was younger? It's just kind of like a, like, I don't need to know necessarily all these burning, like, answers to all these burning questions. I just want to see what he was like when he was a young guy. I'm sure it was probably great to behold, and that's kind of what we got. Revikes in chat, or in Discord, says, this is kind of, I can't believe, I've never seen a Star Wars film, and I wanted to give them a shot. Should I watch the movies in chronological order or by release? First of all, that's probably up for debate. Maybe you have a quick answer to it, Crispy.
That's tough. I don't know. I think that the prequels are written in such a way that they assume that you've already seen the original movies. The prequels are very much constructed like backwards and upside down.
Yes.
So I still think watching the originals is far better.
Honestly,
and
I think
once you get to the end of the original series, consider not watching.
Yeah, like I was gonna say. I hate saying this because I love Star Wars to death, but like I really don't think those prequels are necessary. I think that if anything, they're going to do is taint your.
A lot of people do like them though, and that is, you know, you might be one of those people, and that's absolutely fine. And I would hate to like deprive you of discovering what could potentially be your favorite movie of all time by telling you don't watch these.
Yeah,
I just think that like, for anybody getting into Star Wars for the first time, just understand that there's 10 of them now, and like really, even among like people who have been into this stuff their whole lives, there's still a debate of like maybe which half of them are good.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Like it's weird.
And honestly, just to kind of answer your question a little bit farther too about where do these smaller side stories fit into the overarching universe? I think these, kind of like what you said about the prequels, these are also going to be most enjoyable if you've seen the core movies and like the Skywalker saga, because they're very much meant to kind of like play off your nostalgia and fill in the holes.
And this movie too is like, like if you really want to get everything about it, go play some obscure 90s video games and get caught up on the Clone Wars and Rebels TV show.
Yeah,
and
I heard
like
about
maybe
that.
You'll get everything that this movie has.
There's some weird references in there that honestly I don't even know.
There's some really left field references in this movie.
Absolutely.
Like including the big reveal itself too is like really out of left field, but apparently like if you've been more tuned into the zeitgeist of Star Wars in the last 5 years or so, like
specifically Star Wars Rebels,
it's been around kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just weird that they would make the jump into the movie. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
So do we want to have that conversation now? I'm not really too worried about like going in any particular order because we're just talking about the movie in general. But do we want to talk about the moment? No, I mean, I'm specifically referring to, do we want to talk about that big moment, the big reveal?
The reveal?
At the end of this movie. Or do you want to say?
Yeah, sure. No,
so
yeah.
I think it's just really interesting because, and by the way, last warning, this is a spoiler.
Spoiler, turn away.
Yeah. Mute your computer for a few
minutes. Get out of here.
So this movie all kind of builds this relationship between Han Solo and this girl Kira, who he was very much in love with when he was living on Corellia, and then he escaped Corellia, she did, and all this yada yada yada. You get towards the end of the movie, he ends up rescuing her from I don't know if you, what you want to call, what was her relationship to him, essentially?
Well, yeah, she was working for this crime lord that he takes a job from.
Yeah.
And she vouches for him, so they're kind of, like, in it together. Like,
yeah.
Like, if they fuck up, they're both going to die, so they kind of have to work together to do this whole thing. They finish the job, they go to make the drop in the payment. There's a whole series of double crosses and, like, yeah, backstabbing and these double crosses, which are fun and interesting, and I was really, like, into it the whole time.
Yeah, I was too. Yeah.
And then, like, at the end of all of that, it's just Han and Kira and, like, the bad guy's dead and they've, like, won, and they're talking about, like, all right, well, now we're gonna go run away together, right? And she's like, yeah, go ahead, I'll be there in a minute. And he takes off. And then she, like, okay, tips her final hand.
So before this scene revealed, right, they dropped a few, like, subtle hints throughout the movie. Like, they talked about, like, the crime lord's talking about, like, you know who I right. serve and all this stuff.
Right.
And then when he...
Right, and they also make several oblique references to Kira having been involved in some really, like, dark, unsavory shit in the 3 years that he hasn't seen her.
Yeah, and so my assumption was, like, oh, they're building up to an Emperor Palpatine reveal, right? That was kind of my...
I kind of, like, so, fucking big bad space gangster guy, her boss, dies. She takes a secret ring, like a decoder ring, off of his finger, and then uses that to, like, activate a hologram thing to talk to his boss, who I guess is now her boss or whatever. And like, when that like hologram thing started up, I kind of thought, like, what, Emperor Palpatine? That's fucking weird. But it's not. It is, spoiler alert,
fucking,
it is Darth Maul.
Fucking Darth Maul. Okay, first of all, one, I think this is both crazy, and I think it's kind of, it's ballsy, it's crazy, and I think it's kind of interesting that Disney is like, yeah, we're gonna revisit a character from the prequels.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. And he's like, he's sitting there, and he's got like a robot lower half of his body. You know?
Yeah, because like if you've seen Episode One, you know he's fucking assumed dead at the end of that movie for obvious reasons.
Like, I really, Darth Maul kind of to me also is kind of emblematic of a lot of things that are wrong with the prequels, in that he's like this cool, intimidating, flashy character. He's like the new fucking Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Like, he looks really cool. He's got, like, this cool weapon or this cool thing about him, and, like, you can't wait to see him kick ass, and then, like, he just fucking dies and has absolutely no character or personality applied towards him in the few minutes he's on screen, and then he dies and you never see him again, you never hear about him again, and he, like, does not matter.
I know.
At all.
And obviously, so it's funny, cuz, like, I saw an article today. It was like, let's talk about that reveal. And I was like, okay, I'll kind of get the background. And I looked at it, and I was like, holy shit, this is like an essay, like a 2,000-word essay about Darth Maul. And I was like, oh, he has like a very important history that's been built up
since,
in Rebels.
Ever since Episode One, I mean, it's the same thing, like, what happened with Boba Fett again. Ever since Episode One came about, and, like, he kind of fucking was a huge wet fart and never came back, everybody has been obsessed with this character. So, like, authors have been pumping out books about, like, his backstory and, like, what happened to him after the fact. And like he got woven into the extended universe, like, really more than he probably should have.
Yeah.
And then when this whole Disney thing went down, and Disney was taking over Lucasfilm, and Lucasfilm was, like, basically just focused on doing, like, Clone Wars and then eventually Rebels and like, starting up the new movies, like, they kind of were, like, really eager to please fans, so they started, like, making these changes and doing these little things, and he is one of the things that got, like, swept into canon. That was like, okay, you and fucking General Thrawn, like, are two characters that probably shouldn't be here, but we're gonna bring you along because we know you'll sell, you know?
Yeah.
And they they bring Darth Maul in and they kind of like start doing him in Rebels or something.
Yeah, he's definitely like a major part of Rebels for sure.
Yeah, like he shows up and is like a character, is like a whole thing.
He has
again,
like robotic spider legs at some point, and then he gets like right around, like robot
like
legs.
It's fucking ridiculous. Like it's crazy.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to go too far because I don't really know what I'm talking about here because I haven't watched Rebels. But I remember starting to read this article today, and it was literally talking. I was like, how the hell did he survive getting cut in half? And I start reading it, and like the first sentence is like, through the power of the Force, his hate kept him alive, and I was like, what?
It's like, that is like, definitely something that sounded really good to a writer in 2002.
Yes,
they
exactly.
were just like, fucking nailed it. That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
it is so fucking weird, but like, they brought him back, and people are really excited about it, and I'm like, okay, whatever, I don't care. When I saw it was Darth Maul, I was like, I was baffled. Like, my jaw was on the floor. And he only has, like, two or three lines in the movie. He has a quick little conversation with Kira, and then it's over. And I was like, wow, that was way more compelling than anything else he ever did in episode one.
Yes.
Like, it's amazing how just, like, a couple lines delivered well, like, makes a character interesting versus, oh, we'll just give him a cool lightsaber and have him do cool lightsaber fights,
and also,
you know?
quick aside about Darth Maul, that was Ray Park
was it?
Yeah,
that was Ray Park.
Yes, but
yeah, the original Darth
but
Maul?
And I could, someone may want to correct, if someone knows this in Discord you may want to correct me, but I think I read it's Ray Park playing the character, but they use Sam, what's the main character from Days Gone, the actor who did, because he's doing the voice of Darth Maul in Rebels, so that's his voice.
Oh, they got him to do the voice?
Yeah. I could be wrong about this, but they brought back the same actor, but
I mean, that makes sense. I feel like
it's weird.
I feel like they did that to, like, Ray Park didn't do the voice for him in,
I don't know,
in Phantom Menace, did he?
I'm not entirely sure.
I thought they had somebody else dub over him. I don't know.
It would make sense. But I think as far as like, that's like the big thing. It's like really the only thing you can really spoil per se about Solo. It's the biggest surprise without a doubt. And I honestly, like, I was really bad. Like you said, I was baffled. I didn't know what to think about it. But the more I think about it, I'm like,
Sam Witwer.
Yeah. So it's like, I was baffled, but at the same time, I'm kind of intrigued. Like, this is kind of a ballsy move for Disney. And I'm that's kind of implied. They can't just like drop that and never touch it again. Like, they've got to do something with it.
I mean, yeah, more power to them. Like, maybe they'll I would really like to see them do something with that character that is worthy of all the love he already has.
Yes, and no matter how you feel about the Star Wars post Disney acquisition, I think it's safe to say that like, the characters and the writing, whatever, has been leagues better than it was during the prequel era. So if they were going to do something with a character, now would be the time.
The thing about it is, like, it's also really weird too, because this scene of like her contacting Darth Maul, like, serves no point.
Yeah,
it serves no purpose other than maybe setting up something that might happen in another movie.
Yeah, it's literally basically like what they did in Justice League. It's like the post-credit scene in the middle, like in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nearly as invasive as
definitely
like, not. That was just unbelievable.
But this is
one of those things where it's like okay, we're gonna take a little 2 minutes and do some fan service for you here. But it absolutely has like no bearing on Kira.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Abandoning Han, you know?
And like, I wouldn't be like, surprised if we never actually see her again, but we see Darth Maul pop up in another movie.
Sure.
SMG and Discord confirms Sam Witwer is credited as the voice for Darth Maul, and Ray Park is credited as Darth Maul, so it sounds like that is the case, which is interesting. But let's talk about kind of the other aspects of the movie I'm sure a lot of people want to hear about. One, I guess let's talk about Han, who's played by oh god, how do you help me out here? Yeah. Help
it's,
me out here.
Something Alder.
Yeah.
Why didn't we just pull up IMDb before we started?
I that's a good question.
You know, like a professional would do.
We're not professionals, Crispy.
I know.
We do this for fun. Alden Ehrenreich.
So I don't know what everyone else's reaction to it. It seems like it was pretty lukewarm, but I was kind of expecting that anyway because it's. It's not Harrison Ford.
I do think, and I think this goes for both him and for Donald Glover. I think they both did a pretty good job of capturing like their mannerisms, like, and in some, yeah. I think and more I mean, so with Donald Glover with his like voice, like because yeah. there's parts where I was like, holy shit, he sounds like Billy Williams. Like holy shit,
I don't know that that's necessary, like necessarily the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Or should be the ultimate goal of that performance. But they did do a really good job of, like, capturing the feel. I mean, Donald Glover specifically gave us Lando as we basically already know him.
Yes.
You know? And it's great. And it's fucking fantastic. It's wonderful. And he already has such charisma on his own.
Yeah.
You know? That like, it's a lot of fun to see him doing fucking young asshole Lando, basically. You know? Alden...
Yeah,
Ehrenreich is kind of playing a different Han Solo, you know. And I had a lot of I talked with my roommate a lot about this. In that, like, you know, the Han Solo that we know from like A New Hope and from Empire Strikes Back, like he's kind of dumb, but like he makes up for it with like charisma and gumption, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, like he can kind of just bluff and like bulldoze his way through a lot of problems just by. You know, his wits, it's classic rogue mannerisms, you know, classic rogue tricks.
Which he does have a moment like that in this movie, towards the end, where he tries to bluff the duel, right?
Right, but that's the thing. Like, here, he's, like, kind of younger and, like, inexperienced and just getting started. So, like, you're seeing more of the stupid and less of the, like the just kind of charisma-driven success of it all, you know?
Which makes sense.
It's really funny to watch and, like, really great to behold. And, you know, I don't know. I guess there are people out there maybe now who kind of also think that, like, humor shouldn't really be a big part of this.
Humor?
Yeah, humor. I think
it needed more humor.
I feel like a lot of discussions we've had about Star Wars over the last couple of years have involved, like, whether or not things should or shouldn't be funny. But, like, I think this character and the kind of stories that this character is going to be involved in are definitely going to be naturally more, maybe more lighthearted. And I think it was a good, balance between the two. And I really enjoyed it. I really liked seeing him kind of, like, be an idiot. I really liked seeing Lando be kind of like a funny narcissist and all the interactions between the new characters, which by the way, I think most of the cast pretty much everybody who had any significant role was like nailing it, showed up, did a great job.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson. I mean, he's kind of just playing Woody Harrelson, but like it's so perfect here, you know, like it just works.
Really liked the last scene between Han and Woody's character.
That nice little shoot first.
Yeah, where he's like,
it's so good.
And that last line where he was like, I forgot exactly how he phrases it, but he's like,
I got one more thing to teach you, and then Han shoots him.
Yeah, like that's so good.
That's so fucking. That's beautiful.
It was good. It was a really well done scene.
It's kind of cheesy. It's kind of cool. Like it is exactly where this story should live.
Exactly.
You know? It's so good.
I also think this kind of goes for. Pretty much all of the Star Wars movies since Disney has taken over, they've really been knocking the droids out of the park, I think.
L337?
Yeah, L337 in this movie.
Yeah.
So good. Like her...
Yeah, she was great.
Her weird, like, obsession with, like, freeing, like freeing all
the
robots.
Yeah, she's like the social justice droid.
Yeah.
She's kind of just like, okay. Like, she starts, like, going on it again, and you're just like, okay,
And
yeah.
then when she starts talking
she gets to... that chance later on in the movie to just, like, start... releasing all those that was a great scene. I love that, like all the droids just going crazy, like removing each other's restraining bolts and like just like smashing all the equipment, like jumping up and down and acting insane. Like,
yeah, it was great. And I also love the little discussion between her and Kira where they're talking about being in love or whatever, and how she's like, and L3 is like, it may surprise you to know this, but Lando has a thing for him, but I don't feel that way about him at all. And she's like, how would that work? And she's like, it would work. I was like, what? I was like, what? What does that mean?
Like, it worked. And you're like, what? Okay.
Great stuff there.
Yeah, I mean, it was really great. I liked everybody, even like kind of the smaller parts, like Rhea was the mm-hmm. alien character that Jon Favreau played.
Oh, that was Jon really Favreau. Cool.
Yeah, Jon Favreau and what's her name from Westworld? Thandie Newton.
One who is not. She gets mistaken for the actress who plays. Oh, Zoe Saldana. She gets mistaken for Zoe Saldana a lot, but she's not.
Right.
Which is funny because when I found out they were two different people, suddenly they didn't look anything at all like each other. Her character was pretty good, even though she was kind of short lived.
They were great.
That whole train sequence.
That's the kind of fucking hijinks and capers that they needed to do.
And you know what else I really liked about this movie? And I think this might be where some people differ. And I think this is kind of where, leading up to the movie, some people were kind of torn about it. But I loved the color palette of this movie.
Yeah.
I loved it. Hey, everything felt like it had that Western feel to it. A lot of like uses of like browns and grays and beiges. It was very good. It was very good. Like everything kind of it showed a lot of the seedy underbelly, which is kind of it. If anybody remembers, if we're bringing it back to video games a little bit, if anybody remembers how they felt the first time they saw the demo, which never came to be, of Star Wars
1313,
where you got to see like the really grimy underbelly, and it was all focused on like doing heists and stuff, and like that really seedy part of these like cities and stuff. Like that's what this movie kind of evokes, like from beginning to end. I think that was fantastic. I want to see more of that. Also, just a shout out to like basically the whole sequence where they're doing the Kessel Run, right?
That is one of those things that is really.
It's funny because I didn't know what a Kessel Run was.
So I mean that has been like. That's been a thing.
That's been a debate for a while.
Like a lot of people talked about Rogue One and about the whole plot thing in Rogue One about like basically that movie exists to explain why the rebels were able to blow up the Death Star.
Yeah.
In the first movie, which nobody ever questioned or needed explaining. You know,
if the internet existed back then, they would have.
Right. Nobody needed an explanation for the Kessel Run either. But this is a little different only because, like, this is the one. This is the real, like, mind bender of, like, what does that mean? You know? Like I feel like a lot of these kind of references and things that people want to treat as puzzle boxes are a little just, like, you know, pedantic. It's like, oh, he threw out this word here. What is that? Well, we did a story that's about that. Whatever. But what was fun about this one is that it is born from like a mistake in script writing on Lucas's part. Like he just needed a really fancy space word for measurement. He didn't do his homework. He used the wrong word. And now like here we are 30 years later talking about like, what did he mean he did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs? Parsecs are a measure of space and distance, not time. What does that mean? You know? And everyone knows what that is. Everyone knows that's a mistake and that it shouldn't have been that word and it just is and we all accept that. And they did a novel a few years ago that actually tried to come up with something that's very similar to what happens in the movie of like, well, what could the Kessel Run have been to make it so that nomenclature is appropriate?
Yeah.
You know? And they came up with this whole thing, and I don't remember exactly how it goes in the book. I think it features a black hole more prominently. Basically, is like they were trying to liken it to like Kentucky moonshiners mm-hmm. in the mountains of like you know coming in, getting their spice, and then like they have to take this really dangerous path out to avoid Imperial patrols, and they can do that by like skirting the edge of this black hole, and you know usually people take like a wider course around the black hole because they don't want to get sucked into it, but that puts them at a higher risk for being caught by the Imperials. So the Millennium Falcon was able to get through this whole thing because it was fast enough to like basically skip over the event horizon of the black hole.
Yeah.
So they
pretty close to what they did in the movie.
That's pretty close to what they did in the movie. Yeah. And they kind of added a few other elements that made for some really cool visuals.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole maelstrom and everything is
the maelstrom was
awesome.
Cool. That like the maneuvers he does like in the asteroid field in the maelstrom was really, really cool. And fun to watch. Also, I think it was great because like they just build up the whole movie where he talks about, he keeps kind of bragging off about himself being like going to be the best pilot in the galaxy and all this stuff, and he doesn't really get many opportunities to kind of show that. He's getting like not able to fly it, or like he fucked, like the one time he's like in the behind the wheel on the car on Corellia, yeah. He kind of fucks that chicken. But then like you get to that point at the very, like when he finally gets to do the Kessel run, and like you get to see him like, all right, let's do this, and like he has that moment where he fucking really shows you that he can do it. Like, shows off his stuff. That was fantastic. It was great.
It's fucking cool. And I mean, like, you know, the stakes aren't ever really so high because you know that, like, Han Solo and Lando Calrissian come out on the other side of this. You know the good guys are going to win and everything. But I swear to God, like, when they're getting sucked into that, the mall, like, whatever that,
yeah,
that vortex thing they were getting sucked into was, and they try to inject the coaxium into the fusion reactor to like give them an extra oomph, and it burns the engine out, and they're just like falling back into it. Like, I was sitting there in the theater going, "Oh my god!" You know, like, and then it's like losing my shit, and then it just like kicks in, and they fucking like rocket out of there.
I love that shot.
I loved it. It was so good.
I love the shot where it cuts to Lando, and he just kind of looks right at the camera and goes, "Well, shit." But like right before he gets the word shit out, it's just like boom.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's so good. So like this really is a movie that like kind of personifies like why I don't think the purpose of the movie is as important as just like the fun you have watching it. Like it doesn't really matter. I think when you're able to kind of get past that, the movie is great fun.
Dude, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like I feel like maybe it's just because of all the Last Jedi discourse, and like I'm just really sick of people getting like super duper serious about the Force and lightsabers and how much training someone would need to use a lightsaber in combat and all that shit. Like I'm just fucking done with it. And
yeah,
I'd rather watch Han and Chewie tool around the galaxy and steal things and shoot people.
I think if anything, this movie just kind of exemplifies like the attitude that maybe Disney should be taking with the story, and like with
maybe
like, those kinds, I mean, of things,
or
aren't
at least
as
with
important.
Certain, or maybe at least with certain aspects of it.
Yeah, it's just fun. Like, they made a fun movie, and I think that's kind of the important thing. We should probably wrap it up here in a second, but I do want to say just quick couple shout outs to the card scene. There's two card scenes in particular with
the Sabacc scenes.
Yeah. Great scenes, even though, once again...
Finally got to see Sabacc in the fucking movie. That's awesome.
Had no idea what was happening, but it was fun
to
watch.
It's just kind of like, I don't know, fucking Jin or something like that, but whatever.
Yeah.
Those were both great, especially, like, I like the little interplay between Han and Lando at the end, where it's basically a reversal of their first meeting in Empire, you know? Where Han shows up, and Lando's on, like, the friendly defensive of, like, hey, buddy! And then Han gets to be like, you fucking dick, and, like, kind of fake him out, but then double-cross him.
Yeah,
you know?
That was...
I love that.
It was so cool. Also, one thing that kept bothering me during the whole movie was, I was like, fucking, the Millennium Falcon's not shaped right. What's going on? Because I didn't realize the escape pod was at the front of the ship.
The escape pod,
so,
yeah,
like, you can see it, like, but I think it looked awesome, like, when it was just, like, when it was complete. And I was like, that's really fucking slick looking.
Cool.
But then, like, they had jettisoned the escape pod. I was like, ah, there it is. There it is.
It was all right. I think it was kind of silly. And there was actually one other thing, and I might have talked about it before, but there was an artist I saw online a couple of years ago he's a concept artist by trade, I think. But just, like, in his free time, he had done a spec concept of the Millennium Falcon, like, as an actual cargo vessel.
Yeah.
Like maybe why is it shaped the way it is? Like does that inform how cargo shipping works in Star Wars? Because if you think about the Millennium Falcon, it is really bizarrely shaped.
Yes.
You know, it's got that offset cockpit on the right side, and all of the ship is to the left of that cockpit, so, like, it doesn't even really make a lot of sense, you know? So this guy came up with a concept where basically the front fork of it, the mandible, was like a connection point, and it like slid into like a giant train of like cargo containers and pushed them. And that's why you had the offset cockpit, because then that cockpit, like from the cockpit, you'd look down one side of the train, and then they had the satellite dish on the other side that was basically covering your blind spot.
Gotcha.
And I thought that was really interesting and really inventive, and I was like, oh man,
well, this
guy should totally fucking buy that from this guy. But
yeah,
and they went with the whole escape pod thing, and the escape pod's about as big as the rest of the ship, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah, good point. But it was really cool. It was really neat to see the Millennium Falcon like that, and like you get to watch like, oh, there goes the cannon, they're gonna replace that. Oh, there goes the dish, they're gonna replace that. Oh, there goes the that's why it's got the fork. Okay.
Giroux in Discord says opinion on, I don't know what he means by that, opinion on the machete order. Machete, I don't know what he's referring to. Maybe that's a typo.
No, I think they're talking about order of Star Wars movies, and he's asking about the order of machete movies.
maybe. Yeah. Last question, I think, is do you think we're going to get a sequel to Solo, or just another movie where he appears as Han Solo in someone else's movie? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to use this actor again to play Han Solo, especially with the whole, you know, the teasing of Darth Maul. Like, that's going to continue.
Yeah.
Although I think it would be kind of cool to continue that, pick up that storyline in someone else's movie, not necessarily have him involved. It'd be kind of an interesting way to connect them, even without.
Well, they're definitely doing this Boba Fett movie.
Yeah, the director from Logan is going to do that, from James Mangold.
Yeah, James Mangold. Which I wouldn't be too surprised to see Han Solo show up there. I'm not saying it's a given, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
Had run-ins with Boba Fett before, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see him.
Yeah, yeah. Him. I mean, there is supposed to be some kind of history between those two.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like in agreement with a lot of the internet right now, and that I would really like to see them do, if they're going to do this, they should do a Lando one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it'd be kind of cool to see.
I think Donald Glover as Lando is kind of universally looked at as like easily one of the most likable, easy to like parts of this movie.
Of the movie, yeah.
So I wouldn't be, and not to mention, I just think that like that character cast itself, like Donald Glover, I think is like the perfect.
They have so many moments in this movie that just like kind of perfectly capture their characters.
Yes,
and I love that. Like when Lando's like sitting in the cockpit alone, like recording his memoirs. Yeah. Like that is so perfect. And then like at the end, like when they do the Kessel Run and they get to the refinery or whatever, and Alden, whatever his name is, Han Solo, is like standing around while they're offloading everything, and he's just like talking to one of the dock workers. He's like, yeah, I just made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, you know? Like, that is so fucking, I love how what a fucking dope he is.
And
it's so good.
And then the camera like pans over to the ship and it's like falling apart. Like,
yeah, like they literally like crash the ship, like landing it.
Yeah, that's
so good.
That's a good. I really enjoyed this movie. I hope more people. I know the movie is not doing great in the box office right now, but I hope maybe our discussion inspires some people to go watch it. I think it's definitely worth watching, even if you know what's going to
really
happen.
Good.
It's a great movie.
I genuinely endorse this, and I think that, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. I think one of the strengths of Star Wars is that you can do a lot with it, but maybe that also kind of means that a lot of different people are going to be fans of it for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
So maybe this isn't what you expect to see from Star Wars, but as someone who really appreciates like the pulp adventure, Western, like old samurai flick, kind of early 20th century cinema influence on this movie, like this one feels closest to trying to honor that.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it. You know?
Awesome. Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty damn well. I mirror those sentiments exactly. All right, but I think that's gonna do it. Crispy, thank you so much for being here and for
thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course, thank you guys, everyone who's watching us live on twitch.tv/4playerpodcast, and to those joining us in Discord to chat. I know a lot of people in chat hadn't seen the movie yet, so there wasn't a lot being said in there, but like I said, these topics will change from week to week, so there'll be all kinds of opportunities for you guys to jump in there and talk to us while we're recording these. I hope to be back next Monday night doing another one. I don't know. I would love to do a God of War spoiler cast. I don't know, Crispy, if you're getting any closer to the end of that movie. Oh, he's leaving.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, that's fine.
I can't touch anything in Discord without everything.
I thought the timing was beautiful because it looked like you were just like, I'm out.
Yep. And it's like, nope. I'm not done with God of War yet, but I'm like, I'm close.
Sweet.
So if I can maybe get through like Detroit and God of War,
Like I said, like I said again, I'm also really itching to do a Detroit conversation because I know we won't be able to go too deep into spoiler territory on the main show. But that's it, guys. Join me next week, next Monday night around 8 p.m. for another episode of 4Player Plus. And for those watching us live, I'm going to go stream something after this. Just going to take a quick break to set everything up. Crispy, thanks again. And of course, 4playernetwork.com is the website. If you like our show, check us out there. You can subscribe to us and all that good stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Discord. Of course, you can join us in Discord. Discord.gg/4player is where you'll find that. Good night.
Good night.